The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Palermo's Pizza Green and Gold postgame show, presented by Screamin' Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas. Now, along with former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
It's not quite over just yet, but the Packers came out smoking today as they knock off, for all intents and purposes, 34-14, the Atlanta Falcons. And the Falcons fall in ugly fashion to the Pack. The Pack, I don't know whether it's just rejuvenation, what it happens to be, but nevertheless, the Packers ended up getting a nice win today. And they will walk away in the next couple of minutes with a victory and maybe some positivity coming out of this season. Joining us here, we are live at Hinterland. We are here in Green Bay across the street from Lambeau Field. We're going to be joined coming up here in a little while by John Kuhn, the former running back. He is going to stop by. Gary Ellerson, the running back, and Badger running back, Packer running back. He is here alongside for the Green and Gold postgame show. As always, my co-host, Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette, is here as well. So, Gary, let me start with you, pal.
Sure.
What did you see different, if anything, as it was a little bit odd not seeing Mike McCarthy run out of the tunnel today, but what did you see different?
Should I state the obvious, Bill? I mean, do I just go there?
Sure.
Should I just go there?
Go ahead.
12?
Yeah.
And 52?
Yeah.
52 played well today, too. Aaron Rodgers, to me, what is – I don't know if he hadn't played this well in probably about a month. And now his first half stats, they weren't that great, but the pass – the pass he threw to Randall Cobb for the touchdown, vintage Aaron
Rodgers. Put that in a bucket. Drop back, step into the throw, the whole deal.
And for the most part, those passes you saw him throw at people's feet, those balls were at eye level all day.
Yeah. He only had one pass that you could really say, ugh, that was kind of ugly. Still looked off a couple of guys.
I'm just saying. Well, yeah, and we saw Aaron Jones on a check down or two. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying that something was between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, but if you ask me what was the difference in this game and the game in these previous games that they didn't play well, to me it's 12.
Eric, what did you see different today?
Same thing. Yeah, really what was out there that we didn't see, same as Gary was saying, was a quick passing game. You saw that first drive was, you know, it was bang, bang, bang. The touchdown to Ty Montgomery was – or not. Sorry about that. Devontae, I'm sorry about that. That was a fantastic throw. It was just – everything was 2 seconds and out. You saw him kind of go back in the middle part of the game, and you lost some of that again, but then at the end they kind of came back to it in the third quarter. So, you know, it was the same thing that Gary was saying. It was a just – getting the ball out, throwing on rhythm versus, you know, there was a little bit too much running around, but, I mean, really, for my liking, but really getting the ball out in a much timelier fashion was a difference.
It was interesting. They did not start Aaron Jones. He didn't come in until the second series, and then he didn't see the ball until really the third series, but didn't start him and did a lot of empty backfield stuff. I guess it was just basically they're going to get Aaron Rodgers into a rhythm and they're going to start with a quick passing game.
Right, because I think it was about throwing the football. So who's your better pass protector? The bringer back. And so basically they knew what the game plan was. That's why I think Jamal Williams got the start, because they knew right away. I mean, it felt like they were going to throw the ball 50 times no matter what was going to happen. So it was about getting Aaron Rodgers into a rhythm and having an extra blocker in the game with Jamal Williams.
Well, especially with that offensive line just banged up as
right.
It was.
Yeah.
Sitting here looking at the end of this game, Jair Alexander was given the task today to basically go everywhere Julio Jones goes. Jones, 10 targets, 7 catches, 98 yards, couple of touchdowns. I mean, he dented the end zone a couple of times, but for the most part, he was kind of held in check. Just, you know, he can hurt you. Don't let him kill you. You know what I mean?
I think he holds the Lambeau Field record in receiving yards.
He today was, for the fifth straight year, he went over 1,400 yards. He's the only player in NFL history to do that. 5 straight seasons of 1,400 yards or more.
But I think he has the Lambeau Field record in receiving yards.
By an opponent. But
yes. I think he had like 11 catches for 252 yards. I don't know who's back in the studio, but somebody can look at it. I think he put up 252 yards or 200-some yards against us at Lambeau Field. Now, this guy's Julio Jones been beating us like a drum for the last 4 or 5 years.
They did a pretty solid job. I mean, had this game been a little bit closer, obviously it might have been much more concerning. But I thought Jair Alexander was outmatched. They basically put him on an island most
of
the day, too, guys.
They didn't
give him much help over the top.
Nope.
And Eric, they made the adjustment late in the ballgame a couple of times, but for the most part, Jair Alexander, you just can't keep up with Julio Jones. He's got that stride, man.
Yeah, and sometimes he was covered pretty good, and that ball still got in there. I mean, that was
the first one down the sideline. How did they call that a catch?
Right. Well, how'd they call the other one a catch?
Right.
With the toe
both
on the line.
Both of those were incomplete to me.
You know, I thought both of those balls would have been called incomplete.
Yeah.
But I thought they did an okay job against Julio Jones. Again, we saw a lot of the same old pass rush, somewhat sporadic. You saw it happen at times. The opening drive cuts them like a knife through butter. And then after that, they kind of settle down and figure things out, and Pettine makes a few adjustments, and then you start to see a little bit better play.
Right.
But again, you're talking about a rash of injuries, both offensively and defensively today. Kenny Clark, kudos to him. He goes down, he comes back. I thought at one point it might have been like concussion protocol to him, but he ends up coming back and playing a little bit more in this ballgame. But another rash of injuries today.
No, but that's kind of been their season. Well, listen, Bill, that's been the Green Bay Packers, though, really. Even when they won the Super Bowl, they had a rash of injuries. So, I don't know if this is the new NFL, because if you look at the Atlanta Falcons, they've had a ton of injuries defensively. So I think I just think a lot of these injuries now, to me, Bill, is a product of the NFL going to the number of practices that these guys have, and you got a lot of sprains and strains, and these guys are not accustomed to working hard and getting their bodies, and you got a lot, and the game is much younger than it's ever been. So all these rosters are much younger. You got younger guys who are coming in who really don't understand how to be a professional and take care of your body, i.e. Eddie Lacy.
You got to the first score of the game brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College, authoring athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. That's bscbobcats.com. First score of the game, easy for the Green Bay Packers. Devonta Adams takes the 7-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. Here it is.
Ninth play of the drive for Green Bay. Rodgers looking far side, going far side. Adams, did he get in? Touchdown!
There you go. First score of the game. It's brought to you again by Bryant Stratton College. Go to bscbobcats.com. That's bscbobcats.com. So tomorrow, the headline would be what, Eric?
That's a tough call.
Yeah.
I guess everyone's going to be, you know, I guess the headline is Philbin is 1-0. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I think defensively, you know, I think the effort on defense was there. That was definitely apparent. But, you know, still a severe lack of talent up front, and they're injured as heck on the line of scrimmage. And, you know, and offensively, yeah, it looked okay. But, I don't think, you know, they got a pretty tough uphill road next week.
Well, Bill, the emotion that you were looking for, that they were looking for, you saw in that game. And that's not that I wanted Mike McCarthy to go, but you saw an uptick in emotion in how these guys played in this particular game than what you saw last week.
Now, let me ask you, go back to Joe Philbin, 1-0. Joe, and I thought he did the right thing in challenging those first couple of plays, that first series. I get it. Is Joe Philbin at all, in your mind, in the running for the head coaching job here?
I don't think so.
See, I don't think so either.
No, not at all. It's not in the plans. They want to go something new and different. They've already did the Joe Philbin thing. But you know what? This is great for Joe Philbin. I think a lot like Mike McCarthy, for what all Joe Philbin has done for the Green Bay Packers, for the state of Wisconsin, for the Green Bay Packers community, he deserves to have this opportunity to lead these guys and be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers for right now. I think what's going to happen is they're going to be a search, and I think without what you see right now, I think the Green Bay Packers really want that new style of play with Aaron Rodgers. They want to be wide open and throw the football. I know Winston Moss may be not on board with that, but I think they want that new coach that can spread these guys out and throw the football around. I don't care what nobody say. Aaron Rodgers will have a say in who they go hire.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we're going to discuss further all of this and something that has happened that I've never heard of happening before as well. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We are broadcasting live. We are here at Hinterland. It's the Green and Gold postgame show. Packers going to win 34-13. They knock off the Atlanta Falcons, one of their final four. We'll see what happens here on out. We've got more right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Wow, that was a heck of a run. Who put up big yardage in this game? Here's the screaming rush of the game. Brought to you by Palermo's Screaming Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas.
34-14, the Green Bay Packers, they knock off the Atlanta Falcons. We are broadcasting live across the street from Lambeau Field here in Hinterland in Green Bay. If you want to stop by and say hi, what a day of topsy-turvy, I guess is the best way to put it. You got Carolina getting beat in Cleveland. The Miami Dolphins, they end up on some, as Larry McCarron would say, some trickeration in Miami. They knock off the New England Patriots. The Patriots just can't win down in Miami. You got a lot going on. And then the Green Bay Packers absolutely blow out the Atlanta Falcons 34-14 under the interim head coach Joe Philbin. The screaming rush of the game is brought to you by our good friends at Palermo's Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza. And they bring you this rush. Here it is, Aaron Jones scampering.
I'm going to throw this out there, too. It's Jones. The ball.
29 yards, making it with a Mason Crosby PAT, 34-7. Packers never looking back pretty much after that, as they were down 7-0 and then put 34 straight points on the board to take a commanding lead. The Falcons, they put up a few more after that, but not really much to say and not really much to threaten. So they ended up getting the win. That is brought to you by our friends at Palermo's Frozen Pizza, the Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Eric Branchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back. We're going to be joined coming up here momentarily. John Kuhn, the Super Bowl winning running back and former running back for the Green Bay Packers, going to be here as well. So one of the things that I have never heard of it being done before is when a guy gets let go, they bring him back into the building. And Eric, I said I thought the Packers took a lot of heat. They looked really bad PR-wise and publicly. There was a lot of players and former coaches kind of ripping the organization. I know it's the class thing to do, but was it putting lipstick on the pig after people started to rip him, or did they they thought this would be a good PR move by allowing him back in the building, or was this just genuinely giving Mike some consideration, or maybe both?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, Gary may know more than I do, but it seems like, you know, he did do a good job for the 13 years he was here and give him a shot to say goodbye. And, you know, his relationship with Joe probably played into a little bit of that. But, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, I think they owed him that. I mean, listen, I wasn't on board for the fire to begin with.
Yeah.
And you'll find this, I think, across the board. Maybe, you know, most players or former players or coaches, head coaches around the NFL, he deserved to stay. Mike deserved, I think, to have left on his own if he wanted to. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, he was going to get to ask the question. Well, then Mike's a grown-ass man. I mean, he can handle.
He knew.
Well, he can handle the question. He knew it was it. But people think that it's easy to win Super Bowls, and it's not. And we're in the era of Bill Belichick. And people think that we should be like them, the Patriots. But Bill Belichick and what they're doing it at a genius level. I mean, Bill, if you look around the NFL since Mike McCarthy has been coach, well, you got Mike Tomlin, you got Andy Reid.
Sean Payton.
You got Sean Payton. I mean.
And Bill Belichick, that's it.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Marvin Lewis. Who,
right. Well, right. I'm taking Bill out of it, but all of those guys have only won one. Now, we don't know what the Saints are going to do. They came close last year in Minnesota.
Right.
But that's how hard it is. Drew Brees, and you guys can say what you want, Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he only got one.
Absolutely. And didn't he take over the – did he – was it Brady or he pass –
I think it's all-time.
There was a record that was broken today.
Yeah, passing leader. I think he's all-time passing leader.
Is that what it was?
Brett Favre. Did he pass Brett Favre?
I think he's passed Brett Favre. It was there was a record broken today, and he ended up being
today. I didn't see today. But I know. I think he's all-time.
Oh no, Brady. surpassed Peyton Manning for the most career touchdown passes today. So that's what it was.
What yard?
And the Saints, by the way, clinched the NFC title today.
Right.
So they are now in there. Let's get to the phone calls. Talk to Ty listening to us in Philadelphia. Ty, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, I'm kind of suspicious. I mean, I think this team definitely came out with a different energy, you know. But when I think back to the 16 December game against Minnesota or the 2010 December game against the Giants that propelled the Packers into the playoffs that year, and I just don't see the same quarterback. And I just don't see the same Aaron Rodgers being able to dominate a game. I mean, when you think about the elements and it being in December at home and just with this Falcons shield on defense, you know, we would think that Aaron Rodgers would, you know, really dominate the game. And I think they played pretty well as a team. But I think this team, as far as going into the offseason, is definitely going to have to hit some home runs in free agency. You know, and that's whether it's offense or defense. But I don't see the same quarterback far as being dominant, you know, especially in December at home, cold weather, dome team. Man, Aaron Rodgers would have shredded these guys apart. So I want to know what Gary and Eric thinks about that.
Well, you know, we saw this at the end of Brett Favre's career when the cold weather got to him. And it will. It's going to get, as you get older in life, and those bones get a little achy and you've got some injuries, it will affect you. I just don't see that yet in Aaron Rodgers, that this is affecting
him. I don't see it yet in Tom Brady.
No. I don't see it yet. You, Eric?
No, I think really, I mean, the reality is they're 2 years away from being competitive.
Correct.
You know, well, next year is going to be kind of a building year. They're going to have a pile of draft picks.
Well, you're talking talent now.
Yeah.
Around Aaron.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then – you know, so you get through next year's draft at the end of next season, you plug all your holes with some free agents, you should be good in the cap, and then make a run in 20.
Here's the question. Yeah. When we were driving up today, I was with Mike Clemens, and he brought up a great point. He said, you know, when Jordy came into the league, everybody thought, well, Jordy started. And Jordy didn't start a full 16 games for 5 years until he was in the league, which is an amazing thought for a minute. You know, he kind of became Aaron's favorite over time. And immediately you lose Jordy, you lose Randall for the majority of the season, Devontae's getting doubled, you lose Geronimo Allison, and now you're left with a doubled Devontae, a tight end with a bad knee, and then three rookie wide receivers that all of a sudden you're supposed to be on the same page. Have we been too hard on Aaron Rodgers?
Well, a tight end with a broken thumb that can't catch.
That too.
That's what you got. I don't know if, I guess you can say that, Bill. I mean, I don't know if hard, but Aaron was missing throws that he normally doesn't miss. And that's not on the receivers. And those throws I saw, the receivers were where they were supposed to be. I you're right, because you keep thinking about Eric's talking talent-wise. Don't the Sports Illustrated cover with all the receivers, Jermichael Finley? Doesn't that just stick out in your mind?
It seems like forever ago.
They don't have
anything like that yet.
If you want to chime in, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Go ahead and get a hold of us. You can check in with us on Twitter as well, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, @Gary Ellerson. You can find us there, @Eric Baranchek, right?
Yep.
There you go, @Eric Baranchek as well, @Eric Baranchek1, as a matter of fact. Right. You can track him down. Like I said, we'll be talking with John Kuhn coming up here momentarily. I asked a question on Twitter a little bit earlier today. What do you notice that's different? And I was surprised by a lot of the people that early on after the first half said nothing. Which I'm thinking to yourself, how did you not notice that they came out with very quick passes, two-step, three-step drops, plant your footwork, and throw into the passes? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he didn't have huge numbers today.
Right,
it wasn't
right.
Like he was just, you know, going crazy and on fire. I mean, Aaron Rodgers today, 21 of 32, 196. He didn't even reach 200 yards today. But two touchdowns, nothing in the negative side, a quarterback rating of 103. Very solid day. It was very efficient, I guess. That
very
might be
efficient.
The best word. And they moved the ball.
That first drive was, they set the tone. It was, they were coming out of the backfield, hitting the check downs, and it was quick you know, the ball was out. I was counting 2.5, 3 seconds. The ball was out, except for on one scramble. And you saw him have the opportunity to look downfield, which I thought was kind of interesting with the offensive line the way it was, that he wasn't looking at the rush.
Yes.
It was 1, 2, 3 out.
Right.
The one note that seems to be the constant, even though today actually they were pretty good when it came to third down. They were 7 of 13, 54%. But it seemed early on in this ballgame, again, third down sacks, still problematic. They just aren't able, for whatever reason, to pick up a single rush coming from the outside. It always seems as if there's a scheme to one side or the other that leaves a guy that's coming free.
And so in some cases, and John knows this offense a little bit better than I do, but sometimes you're going to have a guy free. Rodgers has to find a hot guy. Who is the hot guy?
Right.
I mean, I don't know their offense, but sometimes you do let a guy run free, but you're looking for a hot guy somewhere. And maybe Rodgers is not picking that up. I mean, Rodgers has been notorious at not picking up hot reads throughout his career because he's always looking for that one-on-one matchup down. But how about this? Was it 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2?
And he got sacked?
They ran the football.
Yes.
Got the first down.
Because everybody was crashing down thinking they were going to throw the football again.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody's crashing down. 855-830-8648 if you want to chime in.
Back,
go ahead.
Going back to your what you know is that one different. Well, how about that? That was different.
Packers, by the way, today running the football decently. 17 carries, 78 yards for Aaron Jones. Aaron Rodgers, 3 carries, 44 yards today. And
wow.
Jamal Williams, 4 carries, 17 yards today. So all averaging well over 4.3 yards per carry. Aaron Rodgers averaging 14.7 today, as a matter of fact. They ran for 138 yards against this Atlanta Falcons defense. So, good day. Davante Adams today, 11 targets, 7 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Randall Cobb, 6 targets, 5 catches, 43 yards, 24 of them for a touchdown as well. You had Aaron Jones, 3 for 3 out of the backfield. But by the way, Aaron Jones today ended up with 116 combined yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling targeted a couple times for 19 yards. Jimmy Graham the same for 13. Jimmy Graham, though, 5 targets, only 2 catches today. There was a couple balls that weren't really thrown to where he could have gotten to it. And then he did have the one that he dropped.
Yeah. Right?
And then the very next play, he's wide open. Wide open. I mean, I could have thrown it to him. And Aaron looked at him and wasn't even going to think about going back to him.
No.
So he kind of realized either the thumb is problematic or your hands are problematic, but I'm not going to come back that direction.
Yep.
And then you had Equanimeous St. Brown with a couple of catches for 12 yards. Anything else, Eric, off the top of your head that kind of stuck out to you today?
I thought the secondary, you know, they gave up a ton of yards, but I thought some of the young guys played okay, and it was great to see Breland pick that ball off and go for 6. When's the last time we saw a pick 6 in this town?
Red Ryan's eyes.
Yeah,
he never took his eyes off of, who was it?
Tight end.
It wasn't, I was going to say it wasn't Julio Jones. Connor?
It could have been Connor.
I can't remember it was. But nevertheless, he never took his eyes off of him. Breland read it perfectly and ended up taking the ball to the house. So there you have it. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, John Kuhn is going to be joining us, Super Bowl winning running back for the Green Bay Packers. He'll be here, so stay tuned. We got a lot more broadcasting live from Hinterland here in Green Bay. Packers get a win 34-14 over the Atlanta Falcons. We've got more right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
How about we be the bad guys for once?
Where did this one turn?
Rodgers with a pass to Adams. What a throw.
It's time for the Aurora Healthcare Orthopedics Turning Point of the Game.
This is the Turning Point of the Game, presented by Aurora Sports Health.
Advanced care to get you back to doing the things you love. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
34-14 is the final. The Packers knock off the Atlanta Falcons at Lambeau Field. We are live. We are at Hinterland here in Green Bay. If you want to come by, say hi. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson alongside John Kuhn, Super Bowl winning running back for the Green Bay Packers, joining us here as well. Going to talk to these guys coming up momentarily, but the turning point of the game, this was an easy one. Breland picks off Ryan, who stared down the receiver, Hooper, takes it 22 yards to the house. Here it is.
3rd and 4. Julio Jones in the slot now for the Falcons.
Blitz coming. Ryan going the other way. It's intercepted, and it's going to be a touchdown. Bashaud Breland, a pick 6.
Aurora Sports Care and Health, Turning Point of the Game, Advanced Care to get you back doing the things that you love. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org. That is aurora.org. Joining us now here at the table, we've got our good buddy John Kuhn hanging out with us. So, John, I'll ask you the same thing that Gary answered a little while ago. What did you see different today in this team?
Well, I just saw a difference in personality. I mean, they went out there and they handled their business from start to finish. Their defense has been playing the same way they've been playing all year, but offensively they looked a little bit more efficient. They were better in the red zone. You saw that with the third touchdown there late in the game to Randall. Just seemed a little bit of a creative set that they came out in, something that we're not used to seeing. Got Randall one-on-one, beautiful pass by Aaron, and a nice touchdown.
So, and Gary, you being a running back yourself, they came out. They did not have Aaron Jones in the starting lineup today. They wanted to get Aaron into a rhythm. Just because he's a better blocker, Jamal Williams on the field, right call? Or do you come out with everything that you have? And I mean, obviously it worked, but...
Well, the offense is about 12, right? It's not about 33. So if they wanted to get 12 off, you're already short with the offensive line. You bring in another running back who's probably your better blocker. And, you know, he's going to be able to pick up those blitzes. He's going to be a better blocker for you and protect Aaron Rodgers. So I think early on in that first drive, I thought, John, that's what that game plan was all about to me.
Yeah, see, I was a little curious when I came out and I saw Jamal running onto the field. I didn't understand.
So was I.
I thought three linemen being out of the game, let's be a little protective here. Let's start with some easy, simple runs. Let's try and get this flow going early on in the game. And when they came in with Jamal Williams, I just thought, there's something different here. Maybe something happened during the week. Maybe there's something that Joe Philbin sees a little differently within that building than what we normally see. But then as they came out, they threw almost every play on the first drive, and that's when you knew, okay, here's what they're going to do. They're going to get the ball out of Aaron's hands. They want Aaron to get in the flow, and you're exactly right. Aaron's what this offense rolls through, and that's what they were planning to do from day one.
Seven out of the first nine plays were passes on that drive, as a matter of fact. John, when you and I talked on Monday night, Tuesday obviously had not gotten here, and neither had Mike McCarthy. Did the Packers do the right thing in bringing him back and allowing them to talk to the team?
Well, I think they did. I think this was their opportunity to take 48 hours and think, maybe we made a little bit of a hasty decision to release Mike without letting him see his players. Usually in a situation like this, a coach who goes out with a Super Bowl championship under his belt, you're going to give him the opportunity to see his guys, wish them well. And from what we understand, it was a tearjerker of a meeting that he had. Two standing ovations, a bunch of tears. So I can only imagine that momentum, that emotion carried forward throughout the week of practice.
Now, what do you expect the rest of the season? I'll start with you.
Well, I expect a lot of the same. I expect us to see a well-prepared offense. I mean, these guys looked ready to roll today. They were efficient. Now, they did have three starters on the offensive lineup. We saw that early. They struggled to run throughout the entire game. They struggled to pick up some pass, some of the defensive formations, some of the blitzes. But they'll get that under control, and some of these guys are going to come back. I think they're going to find some good success going forward.
I thought for every reason, I thought to me 12 was the difference. I thought he has played much better than he's played in the last four games. We saw him.
This is the first time, Gary, you and I have been talking about four full quarters.
Yes.
He gave you a four
full quarters today. Normally, he was throwing balls at people's feet. He was overthrowing guys. I mean, and I am. I'm a body language guy. His just body language just wasn't right.
Body language was completely different today.
Yeah, it was.
And he missed some throws, but he was happy. He was bouncing around. He was dancing. You saw a smile on his face. Yes. It was a completely different Aaron Rodgers than what we've seen.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. And again, it wasn't a perfect game, and it wasn't huge. I mean, not over 200 yards, but the fact that they came out and he was hitting guys on 8-yard outs rather than going down the field 15 or 20 when they needed 10 for a first down, but just taking what the defense gave him, getting a couple of guys open. You were talking earlier about personnel packages and the way they rotated guys in and out. It just seemed like they were getting the snap off even with much more time on the clock.
Well, I looked at it even deeper. They were getting the personnel groups in before, the headset goes out with 20 seconds. They were breaking the huddle at 20 seconds. They were up to the line. They were giving Aaron plenty of time to make checks at the line of scrimmage. And let's not get this twisted. Aaron didn't play perfect. He still missed some of the open receivers.
Sure.
Everybody that's been on his case all year about the open, there were still open receivers out there, but what he did was he was decisive. He brought the ball down. He ran for these first downs. I mean, we saw that throughout the game. He played played an Aaron Rodgers game today that we're used to seeing in the past.
Now, Bill, I got a quick question.
Yeah.
The question that you asked me is a question I always want to know because I'm not in the offense. Do you guys have hot reads?
Oh yeah.
Like if the
you saw a hot read on the
next guy's coming, then this guy's going to be free. We're going to let him go, but here's your guy over here.
You saw a hot read on the first drive, and Aaron hit him. It was Randall Cobb right off the slot. Boom. There was a blitz coming. He hit him. 10-yard gain. First down. It was nice. It was like their offense was in rhythm from the start. They did have their hiccups. They had their sacks. They had their protection problems. Weren't really able to establish a run play other than the big Jones run, but they were still efficient enough to win this game, put up 34 points.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, Packers get a win over the Atlanta Falcons, 34-14 here at Lambeau Field. So going back to the offense, we talked about Aaron Rodgers missing. Again, it wasn't perfect, but I just thought, and I'll agree with you in the sense that, one, the energy, two, the quickness, three, the one thing that I noticed was planting of the feet. He wasn't all over the place. He wasn't running backwards. It was because I think the offense was quicker. It allowed him to set up a little bit, which also mechanically made him a little bit better today than what we had seen in the past. And in addition to that, Atlanta's not – I don't want to take anything away from the Packers, but Atlanta's not a good football team.
No, they're not.
They had two picks today. They just flat-out dropped. Two right in the breadbasket.
Yeah, and, you know, you saw a little bit later that Aaron passed Tom Brady for the most consecutive passes without an interception. Well, two of those were gifts because Deion Jones had them right in his hands.
Yeah.
But you need a little bit of that luck to be a successful, good run on these streaks like he has. And to date, he still only has one interception on the season. That's still pretty darn good for your starting quarterback.
No, that's an amazing statistic. And, Gary, going back to you, with what Aaron Rodgers – going back to the quickness getting out of the huddle, to be able to get all the personnel groupings on – I guess my question would be, if it was that easy today, then what have they been doing this entire time?
Well, I just think maybe there's some communication problems somewhere upstairs through Mike and then through Aaron. Maybe they don't all agree on the same play. They probably have some discussions about that. Maybe the personnel groupings is not what they want them to be inside the huddle, and then that play gets to be different. Who knows? It could be a number of things. But I think today you saw something where it just felt like this was a game plan. Here's what we're going to do. We know we need to get the call out in a certain amount of time, and here's where it is. Aaron, if you want to check off, you will have enough time to do that. I think they made a concerted effort to do that. Now, you ask me, why didn't they – it sounds simple, but why didn't they do that on the mic? I have no idea.
Well,
you may want to know more about that than me.
I'd also like to say this week there was a lot of turmoil. There was a big bullseye in the room, and that was, hey, we're letting go of Coach Mike. That is a target for everyone to see. So now all of a sudden you need to understand everybody in there, offensively, coaching staff, players, everybody knows what the urgency is right now, that your job could possibly be on the line. So there is a little bit of emphasis on focusing, going through this whole week of practice, going into the game, and I believe these guys translated from practice field to the game.
So they got to stay alone to McCarthy. Is that what you're saying?
I believe that could have been a situation. I also believe, hey, sometimes it
when
takes,
the guy get fired, it does. It raises.
It
but,
raised the bar this week. These guys came out. You could see the focus from the first drive. And by no means did they play a perfect game. We picked it out. But they played very, very well. And I like what I saw this week in their offense.
It wasn't a clean game. But you talk about everybody on that offensive line. They came out with, what, three starters missing today? Guys going down during the game. And the offensive line still kind of held up. And that hole that Aaron Jones ran through for the 22-yard touchdown run, you and I could have done that all over again, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, I like Aaron Jones. My thing with Aaron Jones is I don't know if he's a guy that can line up.
I don't think he can do it 25 times a game.
No, I don't think he's that guy. And a lot of guys give me crap, but I like bigger backs. And I take Eddie Lacy over him. But I mean, because I like a guy that can just hit it, and you can run. That one year, I think Lacy – Rodgers was out, and you guys went to the play. I mean, I like a guy like – I mean, Aaron Jones, to me, I think you got to sub him in and out. I don't know if you can give him – and everybody think he's Kamara. And Kamara is bigger than this kid. I don't think – he's not Kamara, but I think you could – and I think you saw that today. They did some things nice with him to get him outside, get him the ball there. You know, I think he can do those types of things, but I don't know if he's a pounded back that you can get the ball to 20 times a game.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You want to compare him to Kamara. I mean, you're talking about a rookie of the year, perennial Pro Bowler, all-pro running back.
That's
I mean, that's tough shoes to be compared to. But what I do think is he's a guy that if you give him the ball, especially in space, if you can create some holes on the offensive side, he makes guys miss on the second level.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since you had a back to just make guys miss on the second level. I mean, Eddie Lacy could do some of those things. He broke a lot of tackles, but Aaron Jones flat out makes people miss. If you get him to the second level, he's got a chance to score every time.
Well, he can take it to the house, right?
And I love the few checkdowns that he had today.
Yes.
He made a lot with them. I would have liked to have seen a little more. I would have liked to have seen a couple more screen passes, maybe a couple more draws.
They tried to set up one good screen, and that got snuffed out right away.
I still think he only touched the ball about 13 times today. I do believe he's a 20-touch guy. I don't think he's a downhill power.
No, that's not him.
ISO back right. for 20, 25 times.
Right.
But I think he's a 20 right. to 25 oh. touch guy a game. I think he can do that.
He had 20 touches today.
Yeah.
Right.
So 17 carries and three catches.
That's about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
17 carries, 78 yards, which is about what you're looking for out of him. And then today, in addition to that, three catches, 28 yards, as long as being 15. So.
And I think at the end of the day, when you look at that and you say three of their starting linemen were out, you're going to take those stats.
No, oh, absolutely. The fact that he's over 100 yards again, total offense, you'll take that out of him every day of the week. Going to go and take a quick break. Packers get the win 34-14. They knock off the Atlanta Falcons here at Lambeau Field. We are live. We are at Hinterland. Come on over and say hi if you're up here in the Green Bay area. A stone's throw away from Lambeau Field, right across the street on Ridge. Swing by. They've got some terrific food, terrific pizza, terrific burgers. And we're going to be here for yet another hour and 10 minutes, something like that. Come on over and say hello. We got more of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Sometimes you gotta stick, and sometimes you gotta hit. Let's find out the hit of the game. Sponsored by Boilermakers107.com. Building and rebuilding America for over 225 years.
34-14, the final. The Packers beat the Atlanta Falcons today at Lambeau Field. Welcome back. It's a Green and Gold postgame show. And the Palermo's Green and Gold postgame show. Right now, time for the hit of the game. And this was an easy one. Big sack by Clay Matthews. A drive, as a matter of fact, when he stuck his shoulder into Matt Ryan. Here it is.
Third down. Four-man rush on a stunt. Matt Ryan is sacked. Clay Matthews came on the game. To perfection.
That's brought to you by the Boilermakers, Local 107, building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. Check out their apprenticeship opportunities at Boilermakers107.com. That's Boilermakers107.com. Sitting here with John Kuhn, the former Packer fullback on the Super Bowl winning team, Gary Ellerson, Packer and Badger running back for so many years here as well, both joining us here at the table at Hinterland across the street from Lambeau Field. A lot of questions about the defense, guys. One of the questions that was just posed to me on Twitter was, realistically, Eric Brancheck here earlier said, look, they're 2 years away, 2020. And you and I talked about this the other night, John and Gary, you and I talk about it all the time. Good draft, couple of free agents, and you have a good 12. Is this team a team that you could actually consider next year for a championship, or is that an outside hope? And what would fans consider another, quote, wasted year of Aaron Rodgers? How far away are they?
No, it's you, John.
Well, I haven't seen the defense play a game yet this year where I would say this isn't a defense that I would pair up with Aaron Rodgers and think that they can't go far. I don't think they've played one terrible game. Even the games where they've had bad halves, they've had a good half to match up with it. And I think that is a key to what we can see in the future. That consistency over four quarters is something that they could take a long, long way. When you see what they did today, they made the Falcons one-dimensional, and they did that with the play of the game. The interception, ran back for a touchdown, blew the game off, and now they knew they were going to be playing pass defense the rest of the game, and that's when you see old Clay Matthews running the stunt with the defensive tackle, coming in for sacks. Defensive backs breaking up plays. That's what I like to see out of the defensive Packers, and that's what I think they can do going forward.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think you're going to have change next year, obviously, offensively.
Do you think they'll change a defensive coordinator?
I don't know. I mean, I think
– I hope they don't.
Well, whoever, do you think they should?
Well, I think whoever – I just don't think – and they'll do this. Maybe they won't. I just don't think you go hire the head coach and say, you have to take this guy.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think you get in trouble when you hire your head coach and force a guy on them and they don't have that chemistry. I think you say to your new head coach, you should interview this guy and look at the film and let us know what you think. I think they should start off fresh, new, with everything, and no one's kind of handcuffed. Now, and I also think 12's got to be somewhat involved in the new head coach some kind of way. I think that's got to be a marriage that's got to happen or work, and the system's got to all be together. I don't know if Aaron should be the guy that says, you got to hire this guy. I think you say to Aaron, we like this guy, we think we're going to hire him. Can you get down with this guy?
Coming into the game, like that coming into the game today, we wanted this Packers defense to be around top 15, and then if Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers with the offense, you would figure they'd be deep into the postseason. They're 13th in yards, 17th in points per game, and 14th in third down conversion. That's about where you figure you end up being, and look at all the injuries they've had.
And
so
they've
it's
had
not
a
terrible.
Ton of injuries. They've had a ton of injuries. Yeah. Let's not forget that. I mean, they've played perfect halves against some teams. They played a perfect half in the first half against Seattle. They played a perfect half in the second half of Chicago. So, I mean, they've put perfect halves together. If they can pair these things up, which I think comes with time, this is what the potential of this defense could be.
I look at this team and think if they get a couple pieces defensively next year, now they're obviously going to lose a few guys as well because you would figure Clay's not going to be here and what have you. But you got some youth that is now aged a little bit. You get a couple more pieces, maybe a free agent. I think things can begin to fly on this team. We're going to have 1 hour down, another hour yet to go. 34-14, the Green Bay Packers knock off the Atlanta Falcons. We are broadcasting live. We are at Hinterland. Come on by and say hi. There is more of the Green and Gold Postgame Show. Gary Ellison, John Kuhn, I'm Bill Michaels. We'll be back right after this.
Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Palermo's Pizza Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Screamin' Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas. Now, along with former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
34-14, the final. The Packers knock off the Atlanta Falcons at Lambeau Field. We are broadcasting live, the Green Eagle postgame show, here at Hinterland, across the street from Lambeau Field on Ridge. Come on by and say hi. We're here for another hour. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer Badger running back, he is here on site as always. And we got a special guest tonight, John Kuhn, from the Green Bay Packers, the Super Bowl running back, fullback for the Green Bay Packers, joining us here as well. So, guys, we started off talking about Rodgers. Rodgers today breaking the record, 359-plus passes without an interception. He did it throwing a touchdown pass to Randall Cobb. I got to think, and, John, you know him as well as anybody, Aaron knows where he's at. Aaron knows his figures, right? He's got to figure, if I'm going to throw that pass, I've got a shot. I'm going to go to the guy that's been with me probably the longest. I want to see if I can't get that pass to Randall Cobb. And darn if they didn't, they won it for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely knew that that record was up for grabs today. I don't believe he probably knew the exact pass that it was on, or maybe he did. But either way, I believe that came down to it. That was a red zone design play. Knew what he got, liked his coverage with Randall, trust Randall. Now, he didn't have Randall for a lot of the portion this season.
Yeah.
He had a lot of young guys that he's been working with in and out. And having Randall back, having that little bit of security blanket, you could definitely see Aaron's comfort level a lot higher today.
That play reminded me of when he and Randall were both hurt and you guys went into the last game at Soldier Field to make the postseason. Both guys came back. That last pass over to the top to Randall Cobb, the dagger into the hearts of the Bears fans, and in addition to that, you guys ended up going to the postseason. It looked like a very similar style play.
Yeah, exactly. And that to me, is what Randall Cobb brings back to this offense when he's back in the lineup, when he's back at 100%. And I still would be remiss if I didn't remind us all, this is kind of what we were all afraid of when Jordy left at the beginning of the year for bringing in Jimmy Graham. And with Randall being hurt and these young receivers, if Jordy was here as the security blanket, as the backup, Devontae was going to be number one from day one, and we knew that. But if Jordy was here, could things have possibly been a little bit different this season?
Did they, knowing he's hurt and he's as banged up as he is and he's not the threat he once was, they bring in Jimmy Graham thinking, okay, we'll trade it out. We'll get that tight end we've been looking for. We know Jordy is somewhat expendable. His speed's lacking a little bit. I thought it was very telling last year when they had said, Gary, that Devontae became the number one, and we're using Jordy downfield for blocking. Well, in all intents and purposes, Jordy to that point was kind of your number one.
Yeah, I think they miscalculated on Jimmy Graham. He can't separate anymore like he used to. I thought that they thought that he could be a bigger target for him down the middle and maybe open some things up for him on the outside. He's had a lot of injuries throughout his career. I just don't think he's that guy that they thought he would be through the middle. I mean, I know in the very first game was in Chicago, they beat him up a lot, wouldn't let him get out the line of scrimmage. But I think right now you're seeing a lot of single coverage on him. They're not doubling as much as they used to. So
they sure aren't.
They miscalculated that.
They rotate everybody to Devontae, and they try and take Devontae out any way that they can, and they say, go ahead and try and beat us with the rest of your guys, and let's see what you can do. And for the vast majority of the season, these other guys have not been able to win consistently one-on-one.
What do you see, John, with the other guys? Because we know they have talent. We know Marquez Valdes-Scantling has talent. Equanimeous St. Brown, I love the guy going across the middle. We know they have talent, but what is missing?
Well, we've seen the spurts here and there of what their talent can do. The long touchdown pass in L.A. against the Rams, and throughout the course of the season, we've had that here and there. But I still believe that the consistency of a guy that you've worked with for years, like you would have had with Jordy, would have paid off in the thirds and sevens and in the red zone that it just didn't have here with Aaron throughout the course of the season. These guys will get that. They will get there. And these receivers will be just fine with Aaron moving forward. But this year, it just was not there.
My assumption is if Randall is not back, you got to go after at least one more wide receiver this offseason. You got to get a hit on at least one guy. But do they have good talent? It's just raw talent on offense?
I think it is. And I think it's just getting to know Aaron Rodgers where he wants to be and these guys' work ethic, with him. They're very young. I think this Jamon Moore could be a really good player. Or maybe they try to go out and sign a veteran wide receiver to bring in here to kind of bolster a little bit. Listen, the Green Bay Packers are in a tough situation right now as far as next year's concern is most people don't want to say it, but they're rebuilding with Aaron Rodgers. And how quickly you want this rebuild to go? Do you bring in some defensive help for next year? Because they need a pass rush in the worst way. If you let Clay go, what are you going to do? You let Nick Perry go, what are you going to do? I mean, they need some help there. They need another receiver. They need a tight end. They need an offensive line. I don't know what they're going to do with Bulaga. I mean, he's been hurt a lot throughout his career. I mean, they've got, to me, they have a lot of holes. I would ask you this, talent-wise, what do you think about the talent that they have overall versus when you were here?
This is very interesting, and as you were going there, I thought to myself, is this a situation where they are rebuilding, but the guys that they are rebuilding with are already here? They just need the time, they just need the exposure with Aaron, they just need the practice and the actual reps in the game, or do they need to rebuild completely and bring in new players? I believe they have bits and pieces that are really good. I do think these young wide receivers are studs. I do think Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams can be a 1-2 punch in the backfield.
Yeah.
I think the line is solid as far as having a foundation. Blaga is a big question mark going forward. But I think offensively they have some weapons that they can really move forward with. One free agent might be the key with a couple other draft pieces. Then you look at the defensive side. You're questionable at edge rusher at where you're going to go next year with Nick and Clay. But aside from that, you have two monsters at interior defensive line.
Yeah,
you have a really good linebacker with Blake Martinez.
Yeah.
And your secondary this year has come along. They have grown throughout the course of the season. And that's why I'd love to see, like you said, I'd love to see this defensive coordinator have the opportunity to stick with these guys moving forward.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Luigi's Frozen Pizza for the injury report. And not a lot to really report today. Yet Kenny Clark had the elbow injury, ends up coming back. A couple of guys get nicked up. They leave the field, but they ended up coming back. So nothing really detrimental to the Green Bay Packers today, a team that had been banged up. It's sponsored by Luigi's Frozen Pizza, the frozen pizza that tastes fresh, guaranteed, available at most quality grocery stores and taverns all throughout the state of Wisconsin. Make sure you make it Luigi's. So you're talking about Mike Pettine and the defense. I'm anxious to see if they go, because you're going to lose most likely Clay. Do you have to replace him? Because I don't think – I think it's harder to become a defensive player and learn all different moves for every guy in every situation. In college, you got one or two guys that are really tough to get past if you're an elite player and making it to the NFL. A couple of good hard swat and swims and bull rushes, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're in the backfield. But you can't do that in the NFL. I think it takes guys, defensively speaking, longer to develop a pass rush in the NFL than it does, say, offensively to be able to block in the NFL. Therefore, to me, you got to get a veteran to fill the void. Am I wrong here?
No, I actually agree with you, and I actually think if you could possibly get Clay back next year at a discount, and it doesn't have to be this enormous discount, but let's see what he goes on the free market and what you guys can possibly pay in competition with some of these other teams, and maybe Clay does come back, but maybe Clay understands his role is now, I'm now a pass rusher on third down, I'm off some first and second downs, and there's some other guys in here taking the run reps, and he's paired up with another guy on the opposite side. That's when I really feel like this defense could be dangerous. I don't necessarily think Clay has to go, but at the price tag he's on right now, it's hard to see him back.
Montrevious Adams, another one that got a full season now under his belt, Gary, and he's a guy that you need to see grow.
Well, another interior lineman, and I think a high draft pick for him a couple years ago. He's got to play better. I mean, he's going to add some depth to what they're trying to do, but they want to rotate. Listen, it's about pass rushing, right?
Right.
The game is today is about getting at the quarterback. So I think you've got to be able to do that. There's not very many teams out there you'd really had to line up and try to tackle a lot of guys. But right now, what can he bring to this defensive line as a backup player, as a rotational player, will be what they're looking for him to do next year.
If you want to chime in, ask a question, you got a comment, the Packers get a win, and now what? What is your expectation? And also over the next three games, I guess more so, what are you hoping for? Some fans are disappointed to see the Packers win. They're looking for a high draft choice, which really doesn't guarantee anything. But we'll talk about it coming back. Packers get a win 34-14, knock off Atlanta. We are live. We're at Hinterland across the street from Green Bay. Stay tuned. More of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
What's the big guy got to say about this one?
This segment of the postgame show is brought to you by Pick and Save Stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries.
Now, let's hear from Green Bay head coach Mike McCarthy.
Welcome back. 34-14, the Green Bay Packers knock off the Atlanta Falcons. My name is Bill Michaels alongside Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, the former Packer fullback, and Super Bowl winner John Kuhn here with us as well. We are live. We are at Hinterland. That's where you can come over and find us. Joe Philbin, his first presser as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, met with the media just a little while ago. Let's take a listen to what he had to say. So there you go. That's Joe Philbin after the game talking about momentum and energy and all the things that we had kind of discussed, guys. Gary, I'll start with you. Joe, obviously thrilled to get the win. He said in that presser, I don't know why we didn't have this all season long. I mean, it's got to be tough for him to get a win and see a team come out and play the way they did, knowing that his friend's out of a job because they couldn't do that the 12 weeks leading into this.
Well, Joe's not going to throw Mike under the bus. I mean, you know, we know that, and I think he answered the right way. And sometimes Joe sits back and he can see some of these things on the outside that's going in that may not should have been. John talked about the sense of urgency that a lot of these guys had coming into this game because he coaches release. And quite frankly, the head coach is gone. Who's next? The players. So I think you get some of that, you know, that.
What's Joe like, John?
You know, Joe's got this dry sense of humor, but it's very serious. And you get that in the team meeting room. You get that when he's the offensive coordinator. You understand where you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to be. The X's and O's are clear and concise. But you get this guy that you can kind of, you know, you can kind of play off of one another. And he's very understanding. I'd call him a player's coach, but at the same time, he's not going to put up with any slack. I mean, he's going to give you a little bit of a leash, and then when you go and abuse that leash that he's giving you, he's going to tighten the reins quite a bit. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said exactly. The players felt a sense of urgency this week because, honestly, when all the targets disappear, somebody has to be wearing a vest because there's nobody left to take shots at. It's all on the players now. These guys have to produce, and you saw that. You saw them playing with full urgency today.
There's, if any, a few assistant coaches that are still here when you were here and you guys won the Super Bowl. Randall and Aaron, that strength and conditioning is pretty much gone. I mean, it's just everything's rolled over in the 8 years since it's been that you guys actually went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, it's a completely different team now, but it doesn't mean it's not a good team. I still believe in the talent in this team, and the core pieces are very solid. When you look at a top five wide receiver, a top three quarterback, a running back that everybody just wants to see touch the ball more. We know when their line is healthy how good their line is. I love their defensive interior line. I love their young secondary. This is a team that I want to really be excited about. And why didn't they play with that urgency all year long? Why didn't they show that fire all year long? Why didn't they click like this all year long? Well, if the head coach doesn't know, I'm sure as heck, I guess, not going to come up with the answer here. But you saw something different today. I'd love to see them build off of this and continue with it the rest of the year.
You know, I don't disagree with John, but here's what I don't see. I don't see a Charles Woodson. I don't see a young Clay Matthews. I don't see a B.J. Raji.
A.J. Hawk having the best year of his career.
I mean, I don't see any of that defensively. They just don't have, to me, defensively, that kind of time. I mean, Tremont Williams, you got an older Tremont Williams. I mean, Nick Collins, I don't see any of that out of any of these guys. Quite frankly, we talk about these young receivers, but I don't even see a young Jordy Nelson. I don't see a young Greg Jennings before he was Greg Jennings. I just don't see that yet. I mean, maybe they can be that, but I don't see that talent on this team yet. And to me, if you go back and look at some of Ted's draft, now we go to Ted. If you go back and look at some of Ted's draft, he has missed horribly for the last 5 years on draft picks. And I think eventually that's going to catch up and bite you.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to disagree. Obviously, our roster in 2010, in hindsight, being compared now is something different. And I'm not comparing apples to apples. I'm comparing potential out of this team. We're talking about an 8-8 team this year. That's where we're at. That's what this team is. What can they do in the future? What kind of pieces do they need to be good? What kind of pieces do they need to be great? And I think this team has the core pieces. I don't know if they have the complete team yet, but that's what they're building towards, and that's what they're going to move towards in the future. You make a good point. When you miss on a couple drafts, that sets you back several years. It doesn't set you back 1 year. It sets you back several years.
What does it do? And we talk so much about Mike Pettine. What does it do to have Mike Pettine so well thought of at the beginning of the season? He gave the opening speech. Aaron Rodgers raved about it. Campbell, remember the last time a defensive coach was the guy that lighted up the room and all that kind of stuff. And then he's taken, as we're sitting here talking about talent, the limited talent, the young talent, some core guys, been able to meld them all together, and he knows the weaknesses. He's like, I know where you're going to get us, so we got to figure out a way to get. Now, he hasn't been able to do it consistently, but he's been able to figure things out. You talked earlier you can't keep your own guy. What about, say, the Bears? They kept Nick Fangio.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I thought. It was Nick Fangio. Now, don't get me wrong. Khalil Mack makes a big difference when you
right.
bring that cat in.
But
Nick's got a rep. Patton's got a rep.
But what they did was they asked, is it Nagy?
Nagy.
To interview Fangio.
Right.
And he decided to keep him. And I think that's how it's got to go with Patton. I think Patton's done a nice job with his defense, considering what he's had to work with. I mean, you look at Kevin Keene. I think Kevin Keene could be good in his league. Just got to stay healthy. I don't know if he can or not. But I think if you look at what he's been able to do with his defense versus what Dom did, I think it was an upgrade.
I definitely think it's an upgrade. This is one of the top two, three teams in the league in sacks right now. They have nothing but young corners back there aside from Tremont, and Tremont's playing safety. So they're making stuff happen back there with young guys. Mike Pettine has created an atmosphere for these guys to succeed. Of course, they need to be a little bit more consistent. They need to play 60 minutes worth. I think that's coming. I think that takes a year or 2 years to develop. Let's keep in mind, that defense that we were talking about with the Charles Woodson and the Nick Collins, that wasn't built overnight. That took years to build.
Right.
And you're talking about consistent number one draft choices on that defense across the board with Raji and Clay and Charles and Nick. Nick was a second round, but he should have been
high.
A first round.
Yeah.
Yes.
High.
So that's the defense, that's the standard that they're going for, and that I believe is what they can get to with another year or two.
34-14, the Packers get a win. We're going to take a break. You good? You got something else to chime in
Real
on?
Real quick. I want to know about Drew Brees.
Well, let's do that when we come back.
Yeah.
He's got some Drew Brees stories.
I know he does. I want to know.
Inside that huddle.
We'll talk Drew.
We'll get into that discussion. We'll talk some Drew Brees top-notch quarterback play when we come back. Packers get a win with their own top-notch quarterback as Aaron Rodgers looking a lot better today, a lot quicker with the football, getting out of the huddles earlier, really not taking the clock down, didn't have to waste timeouts today, if you noticed. That was one thing. No wasted timeouts today either.
I thought game management
was
spectacular.
Was.
Aside from the two challenges that I agreed with.
That I agreed with the challenge, absolutely. Yeah. No problem doing it. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Broadcasting live at Hinterland. Come on over and say hi right across the street on Ridge from Lambeau Field. We're going to be here coming up until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Stay tuned. We got more right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
How about we be the bad guys for once?
This segment of the Green and Gold Postgame Show is brought to you by Granville Business Improvement District.
Feel the energy and the power at granvillebusiness.org. Granville, a place to grow your business and work.
Now, let's hear from the quarterback.
Welcome back. Packers 34-14. They knock off the Atlanta Falcons at Lambeau Field. We are broadcasting live at Hinterland, the Green and Gold Postgame Show. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Gary Ellerson. John Kuhn is here as well, and we are on Ridge here for, I don't know, about another 20, 30 minutes, something like that. If you're looking for something great to eat, something good to drink, come on over and say hi. Packed house here. I know they're on a wait, but you can still get to the bar. The bar is always open. So come on in and say hello. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers momentarily. But I do want to get back to you, Gary, because you had a question for John.
Well,
so I'll let you go with that.
So a lot of people like to compare the Saints organization and the Packers organization as far as they won a Super Bowl, we won one. Sean Payton was in for the job, didn't get it. Mike McCarthy got it. The relationship between Sean Payton and Drew Brees, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, what's the difference?
Well, I think you look back and you say, what if? What if this would have gone a little bit different? What if Sean would have came up here? What if Mike would have gone down there? And I don't know if there would have been a whole lot of difference, but what you have seen over the course of this time is you've seen two good structured organizations with a good coach on each side, a good Hall of Fame quarterback on each side, and they've both been able to win one championship, and that's probably disappointing for both of them. However, when you check out where the Saints are at right now, they've gone through the rebuilding phase. They've gone through 3-7-9 seasons, and they didn't lose their head coach. They stuck with them. They stuck it out. They've rebuilt. They kind of have the offense revamped again. The defense is looking pretty good. And they're back to where you say, man, Sean Payton might be coach of the year again. Drew Brees is an MVP candidate again. So they seem to be about 2 years ahead of where the Packers are right now on this rebuild schedule.
How long did it all start when they made that trade and they got rid of Jimmy Graham, decided to start bolstering the offensive line and start to work from within? Because it's – and I've always – look, you can have as many specialty players, quarterback-driven league, I understand all that. But if you don't have good interior on both sides of the football, you're not going to go far.
Yeah, I believe it was partly that. Their offensive line was really good, but they were starting to get a little bit older. I think they missed on a couple of the free agents that they brought in.
Right.
They brought in Junior Gled. He got in personal troubles. That cost them a lot. That set them back. They paid him a lot of money to not really play a lot of games. And that can be the course that a team takes. And unfortunately, the locker room is still the most important part of all of these teams. And from what I heard down there is that locker room kind of faltered a little bit in those 7-9 years, but they built themselves back up. Those guys love each other down there. It reminds me a lot of what the Packers Super Bowl team had, and leaders with Charles Woodson, and down there you got Cam Jordan. Aaron Rodgers was the leader. Down there is Drew Brees. You got great offensive skill players, great defensive skill players. So they look like they've rebuilt pretty well. They've come back from their little bit of struggles that they had, and it'll be interesting to see if the Packers can do the same.
Are they different or the same? Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. What's the difference?
So when I always compare them, I say they win in different ways. Drew is not as physically gifted as what Aaron is. He's not going to throw off his back foot and put the ball on a dime where only the receiver can catch it. Drew is going to be more into how it's game planned, how it was set up, what is the defense dictating on that play, and what is the best what is the best scenario for the offense based off of what he gets pre-snap and then after the ball is hiked. He puts in a lot of preparation mentally. And, you know, when you have the talents of Aaron, you can kind of sit back here sometimes and take some risks, run around with the ball a little bit. Drew's 6 foot standing on tiptoes back there. Aaron is ready to run around. Aaron sees everything. He's ready to get out of the pocket. That's where he thrives. He's that riverboat gambler, and he's done very well with that. Drew is on pace, on schedule, on time. Receivers got to be on the same mark, and they make sure that they do that.
Going to go ahead and take a listen to what Aaron Rodgers had to say after the ball game, because he also had some comments. Really solid game out of the quarterback today. Take a listen. So there you go, Aaron Rodgers after the ball game. And guys, if you had to go with an MVP, time now for the Chili's MVP of the game. Devontae Adams, 7 catches, 81 yards and a touchdown. Randall Cobb, we know he got the touchdown that broke the record for Aaron Rodgers for the most passes without an interception. But Aaron himself, 21 of 32, 196 yards, a couple of touchdowns, no picks again today. A 103.1 quarterback rating. If I had to go with an MVP, short of going maybe the defensive side of the football and looking at a guy like, say, Blake Martinez, who had 12 tackles, Jair Alexander had 10 tackles today, also two passes defended in a quarterback hurry, who would you choose for the MVP? Would you go with Aaron or would you go with one of the defensive guys?
I'm probably going to go with Aaron. We've talked about the defense being stable throughout the course of the year, playing good halves, and I think that the defense, the way they've played this year, if the offense would have done this more often, they'd have quite a few more wins than what they have right now. So being able to get 34 points, granted seven of those were from the defensive side, being able to get 34 points is why they were able to run away with this game the way that they did. So getting that offense off to the start and continuing that flow throughout the course of the game, I'm going to stick with the offensive side. I'm going to give it to Aaron.
Yeah, I would agree.
Good.
It's about 12.
Full quarters.
Man, 12, man. 12 drives it, man. I mean, it's unfortunate that it's on him like that, but, geez, I mean, would they give him $180 million?
But I do love Blake Martinez. Some of the plays he makes, some of the diving tackles, he's all over the field, and he gives everything that he has every game.
Your Chili's MVP, Aaron Rodgers. 34-14, the Packers get a win. They knock off the Atlanta Falcons. Final segment of the Green and Gold postgame show. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio will also give us a buzz from over there inside Lambeau Field. Stay tuned. It's coming up next after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. What about the next opponent?
Prepare to fast forward.
How will Green Bay game plan for this one?
Preparing to fast forward.
Fast forward.
Fast forwarding, sir.
Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at FFPWI.com.
Welcome back. 34-14, the Green Bay Packers. They end up knocking off the Atlanta Falcons over at Lambeau Field. We are broadcasting live the Green and Gold postgame show. We are in hinterland. Hopefully you're having an enjoyable evening as a Packers fan, you're saying, okay, where was this all season long? And we would not disagree with you. That being said, Gary Ellison alongside, so is John Kuhn. So brought to you by our good friends at Forward Financial. Forward Financial right now, the partners that are moving forward together. Learn more about their investment planning at FFPWI.com, FFPWI.com. So now, to say moving forward, I mean, the bottom line is, can you duplicate what you just did? You got to go on the road. You get a chance to go to New York, not a very good football team again. Maybe you get your first road win of the season. I mean, we could talk about matchups and all that kind of stuff, but, guys, this is all about just carrying what you did today over into next week and trying to get better as the season winds down.
Well, and John and I was just talking, I think we were talking off air. I think the Packers can win out. I mean, I really do. I think they can go to Chicago. Aaron talks about it. They've had a lot of success in Chicago. Chicago's a team that's up and coming. They're trying to figure out. They're trying to find it. But they got to be able to block Khalil Mack. I think he'd be the difference for them offensively, and don't rush Rodgers so much. So I would think, man, I think you would have to have Bulaga some way, somehow in that game because they like to move him around a lot. I think Bakhtiari can handle him a little bit, but I think they can flip him to the other side. I think that's going to be a mismatch on the other side.
Yeah, without getting too carried away, they run the table and they sit there at 8-6-1, and this is a complete season of what ifs. What if we made moves earlier? What if we didn't make moves at all? What if it went this way? And I think it's more important for the team, more important for the guys to get this continuity, to get this confidence going through the end of the season, going through these 3 weeks, than to ever even look back and say, these guys are playing well, these guys are going to win some games, and these guys is the core that we're going to go with going forward.
You were talking earlier when we got into the discussion about Drew Brees and that whole situation is how they began to rebuild it. The one thing is, and at least it's a sense I get, and you could probably tell us better, but there was never a softness perception or a lack of respect perception, because truly Peyton and Brees are kind of joined at the hip, aren't they?
Yeah, and they are. And there's one thing for sure, when you go down to New Orleans, you realize real quick, this is Sean's ship. And there is no disconnect between who's running the team, who wants what players, where he wants them to be positioned, how he wants the ball to be thrown and to which guy, and what checks are made at the line. There is no confusion. There is no disconnect. And everybody will be on the same page because that is dictated and that is hammered home every single second of every single day.
I'm glad you said that. Jesse Palmer was on because I think he played under Sean Payton when they were in the Giants. He was on one of the shows, and he says, you know, They asked about Sean Payton research and all that. He says, when we were Sean Payton's offensive coordinator, he said Sean Payton would never allow them to misread their first progression. Everything had to be in order. If you tried to go off script, you weren't going to play for Sean Payton.
Yeah, let me tell you, I mean, he is a stickler to details, and you're going to find out real quick. The details are the details that he says. And if he says it goes down like this and the play doesn't work, what's great is he admits it. He'll be in the meeting room. He'll say, that was me. That play was my fault. That was not scripted well. That was not designed well. That one's on me. And you respected that. And because you had that respect for him and the way that he called himself out, the way he found himself accountable, that's the way that you go forward and say, well, I'm going to run through the details, because if they don't work, then it's not on me. It's on the guy who created it.
Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio standing by over at Lambeau Field coming out of the locker rooms. And, Mike, a game where a lot of Packers fans today are saying, where was this all season long?
Well, Aaron Rodgers says the key was he had different personnel groups that made things more effective for him. That's why you all saw Jamal Williams in the first quarter running, because they were come out passing. And then they go to the Aaron Jones packages at running back later. And when you talk to Davante Adams, he says the difference that was this week with Joe Philbin running the game plan was things were simpler.
It allows you to take a step back and realize that it's not as complicated as what we make it or how we view it, you know, especially when you have the talent that we do. So it's a consistent thing he instills and kind of puts it in our head and reminds us that, you know, you guys are the best of the best. So just go out there, act like it, and, you know, prepare it all week to go out and win a game. So just apply all the hard work that you put in since really April, let alone all season. And that's what we did.
Now, the Falcons rushed for over 100 yards, 262 yards passing. But the difference was Blake Martinez and the defense kept them out of the end zone early in the game.
Blake, Tevin Campbell would get a run for 13 yards. Julio Jones is Julio Jones with some balls over the middle. But you guys kept them out of the end zone today.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think we made the plays necessary to get off the field. Obviously, they're a good team. They made plays throughout the game, but we didn't allow that to kind of waver us in any way.
And then when they've got a muffed on a kick return, you've got them deep in their own territory, and Breland comes up with the pick six. Now you can elevate your game to blitzes and those kinds of things for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I think throughout the game you get more and more comfortable with certain things, especially when you have to leave.
Did this feel like a more balanced team today in all three phases?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think just the energy that we came out with at the beginning of the game helped us out with that, and we executed the game plan throughout the game and made plays.
What do you think made some of the differences this week in your preparation?
I think it's just understanding what you need to do to make the corrections. I think we finally had that kind of click moment, whether it was on defense, offense, special teams, to make plays and do what we needed to do to win the game.
Talk about your guys in the D-line. I mean, you got some young guys in there. Adams is in there in the second year, Lancaster, and they're rotating through. Is it working out? Because just when I think a guy's getting double-teamed, he ends up getting an arm out and helping on a tackle.
Oh, yeah, no. Lancaster especially has been amazing this whole entire year. He's one of the guys I knew, especially during fall camp, I was like, this guy is going to be a good player. And we got a good one. And so throughout the year, he's made plays. And when he's had opportunities, he's got his job done and helped us out a lot.
Congrats, Blake.
Yep, thank you.
And Bill Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan says it's hard to believe less than 2 years ago they were on the doorstep of beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And here they are, 4-9. Back to you.
Mike, good stuff, buddy. We will talk to you again soon, okay?
Thank you, pal.
Thanks, pal. Believe it or not, guys, Packers get a win today. You've got Philadelphia playing now. You've got Minnesota with a tough one. You've got Chicago with a tough one. The Packers, I don't think they got a shot at the wild card, but they're only a game back behind a lot of these teams that have six wins that are in a shot for the wild card.
I know, isn't that something?
That's amazing.
It's been a crazy NFL. I mean, the NFL.
Could this team win out and find themselves in a damn postseason?
I think they can. I don't know about postseason, but I think they can win out, no doubt about it.
But mathematically, it says yes, so I guess we shouldn't discount it. But until it says 0.00, I guess we root for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, look at the Cowboys over here now. They're in position now.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys right now are leading their division.
How many wins, though?
Seven wins.
Yeah.
They're leading their division. Philadelphia is a team that's just ahead of the Packers.
Right.
If Philadelphia loses, they're only a game ahead of the Packers.
All the cards are knocking down for the Packers. And people forget that Baltimore hit about a 63-yard field goal to beat the Lions in some meaningless regular season game in 2013. And that was the only thing that left us available to get into the playoffs that year at 8-7-1.
Going to go ahead and get out of here, but good one. John, thanks for coming by, man. It's been a pleasure.
It was fun,
always
Gary.
Good.
It was fun.
Gary, you good?
Yeah, man.
We ready to go again next week?
Let's do it.
Next week, we're going to be in Chicago, yeah, broadcasting live at the Shy Bar inside the Sheraton Grand Hotel. Come on by. You'll see us at the House of Blues, a big charity group going down with us as well on Saturday night. Are you coming down? You're coming down Saturday.
Yes.
You doing dinner with the kids,
yes,
though?
Yes. Yes.
You never come out with us.
Well, yeah, because I got grandkids now.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Well, there you have
it. I'm getting old.
The grandkids keep them off the street.
The grandkids keep them. There you go. Yeah. That's it. No longer does a man have to walk around with bail money in his pocket. One more time. It was a great one for the Green Bay Packers. One more time before a crowd of 77,329. It was the Green Bay Packers 30, and it was the Atlanta Falcons 20. Or 34-20, I should say. That's the way things ended up. And we will talk to you again in next week. For John, for Gary, I'm Bill Michaels. Time for us to go. Have a go. And see you.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.